We're back for another exciting episode of The Spicy Life. I am your relationship expert and magnetic matchmaker, Spicy Madi. And to join me in the G-spot, that is guest spotlight, I have the lovely, the amazing Azure D. Johnson. The crowd goes wild. She is joining me on today's episode for I Am In Love With Love, okay? And I'm blessed to have one of my besties on the show. Have interviewed her one other time before on a show that I did prior on AfterBuzz. And now I have her on my very own show for The Spicy Life. So this is a true blessing. She recently just starred in Imani playing the role of Dominique. And it's an action thriller. She's playing, you know, this sweet that turns like actually like evil badass chick. So I'm going to have her talk about the role. But as always, and I call her Didi. That's my nickname for her. Fahiti Didi. But I call her Fahiti Didi. Okay.
Oh God.
So this is a real OG friend. Like used to live together like day one, yes. Like college. So I have to warm you up like everybody else because you have to keep it a buck 100 with me. You know I want like a very intimate conversation.
Here we go.
So to warm me up, or to warm you up, let me say.
To warm you up.
To warm me up. No, to warm you up, you have to share when you first fell in love with yourself. That is my spice breaker.
Man. That's a hard question because
it always is. Everybody's always like, damn it.
I didn't know it was going to start off like this.
Every episode I do starts off like this. Why don't you know that that's my spice
breaker? You know
what
I should know. Okay, I should know.
I'm going to hold you accountable.
All right. Let's see. I think falling in love with myself has been a journey, and I have struggled with that. I'm going to be real. I think that I've always liked myself, but I think over the course of my life, I just, you know, really have tried to find like that soft spot. And, but I think when I really, truly discovered loving myself, I would say is through getting my heart broke. Because I think that's when you actually go deeper with yourself. That's when you are forced, honestly, to just kind of really do the heart healing. And then in that process, you really have to find your joy again, find like the love and rediscover who you are. So like, I think heartbreak was the defining moment. Actually, heartbreak after heartbreak. After heartbreak.
Which I had a front seat to. Where's
yes,
the popcorn?
You were definitely the support for that. But like, I think those experiences really helped me to go deeper and to like find who I am again. And I think in those spaces is when you really see what you're made of. You see, you know, I have to look in the mirror and I have to find my beauty again, find my joy. Because I think so much of that was not taken from me. But I think in those relationships, I had to like, you know, there was some darkness, and I think to come to the light, I had to really, like I said, find the love for myself again.
So you know what I'm going to push, because I want a story.
Oh, God.
You're going to share what that darkness looked like. So what made you fall out of love with yourself? Like, what about these relationships made you fall out of love? What made you say, like, damn it, maybe I'm unlovable, or, you know, maybe my self-worth gets hit hard in this moment? Give me a specific example about what happened with you in a relationship that made you kind of turn against yourself.
I think I have really high hopes and belief in people. And, you know, when you pour yourself into someone and when you, I mean, I'm a lover, so I'm ready for love and I'm here, I'm ready for it. And I think when you pour yourself into someone and it's not reciprocated or they abuse that power, it just ripped me apart because I was ready and willing and open. And I think to have that not valued, it just kind of destroyed me. Because then you start to look at yourself like, what did I do? What did I not do?
Yep.
You know, what could I have done?
Yep.
And I think you just go through these mental and emotional obstacles. You're just confused. And I think a lot of times I was left without answers or a true understanding of why. And so I think in that time, I had to feel it, you know? So that was the darkness. And the darkness is not easy to get out of. It's not.
So I hate that I could laugh at the end, but it's because I've been through a lot of her heartbreaks, right? So like, so not only do I do this for a living, when my friends are going through darkness, right? I am experiencing almost the relationship with you, right? Because
exactly.
I get to hear and then be privy to seeing sometimes the good, the bad, and the ugly. Mm-hmm. I get to see your guys' journey from the moment when it is butterflies and gumdrops in the beginning to the, you know, end where it's like screaming, cursing, and like, you know, I hate you so much right now. Like, it can go from zero to 100 sometimes. And some of you guys will relate, you know, being a friend and like hearing, you know, someone not love your friend the way that they deserve, or your friend not even love themselves enough to go and get someone who's more in alignment with the deep love that you have to give. It can be, I feel like, hard on my end, and I feel traumatized from PTSD from your breakups as well.
I mean, you're a real friend. You really were in the trenches with me, I have to say.
To the point where I have spoken to these men on the phone and I'm like, sir, what are you doing right now, mister? Like, please get it together. You know, and I've had like several conversations with, I feel like I've talked to all your dudes, but I brought you on for the episode of I'm in love with love because I feel like you and I have a lot of similarities, and not just how we love, but how excessively we love on and on and on and on, because the love is so strong. It lasts on and on. And what I mean by that, you guys, is like some would consider me back in my day before I was married a serial dater. There was no me being single for very long. And you very much are like that. Even though you may be going through a heartache, even though it will feel like someone literally ripped your heart out, I'm always there to be like, what? You're going to be in another relationship in a few months. So why are we even crying?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, but it is this deep love that you overflow with that I think also helps with you being so desirable and meeting someone so quickly.
Yeah. You know, I am a proponent of love. I love love. I wouldn't say I'm a hopeless romantic. I would say I'm a hopeful romantic. Absolutely. I believe in it. Like, I was raised, you know, my dad and I are very close, and he was the first man to love me. And this love has, like, guided me throughout my whole life.
Yeah.
So I've been treated like a princess, been told I was gorgeous. He's instilled a level of confidence in me that's kind of top tier. So, and that kind of gentle love, receiving it from my father, is kind of what I'm used to.
Yeah.
So, like, I look at love as, like, you know, almost not my like my father's love, but it's an extension of that. It's a part of how I developed love. So I just believe in it. And even though at the times when I'm dating or involved, it feels like this is the one. And I'm like, I believe in it. It's going to be it.
This time it's going to hit.
It's going to hit. And I think that my belief in it, I don't carry the baggage or the energy of like not believing or being bitter about the breakups, or I still want that for my life. So I think, yeah, I would just attribute it to me just believing in it, like really believing.
One thing that I do love about your dad, because I, you know, I have had, you guys will hear all the time, you know, about my daddy issues and how I try to find my mom a man so that I could have a daddy. But I love witnessing Didi's father, because
Azure D.
She's gonna make me call her Azure D. Okay, I hate when friends are like refer to me by this name.
Like, you want me to call you Spicy?
Yes, you have to call me
I'm
Spicy.
I'm calling you Maricela. I will not.
She uses
call
my
you
government
spicy.
Name, okay?
Maricela.
Oh, and Didi is her nickname, so it's like we're doing the opposite to each other, but
right.
But your dad, hearing him the way that he talks about you, or when I see him light up in your presence, or when he's like, my baby girl's a star. Or just, you know, he would be the first to like bust out some photos of you or a video of you. And that kind of relationship is what not only I wanted and I craved growing up, but it was what also too added to kind of giving me insight in what it should look like for my child.
Right.
Like, dang, I need to make sure that I have a man who will like, you know, worship this, you know, human that I want to create with. Mm-hmm. And I feel like your dad kind of set like a blueprint
absolutely.
For that. So I love that you've had that. I absolutely love that you've had that.
Yeah.
And I can't wait for you to give that to your own child.
Yes.
Because you have the blueprint, right? Yes. Azure D. Azure is blue in French. Yes. So.
Fun fact.
Fun fact. So she has the Azure print, right? The blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
But that relationship, I think you're right, has set such a tone for how you want to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
So I see you oftentimes get into relationships with people who maybe sometimes start off loving you hardcore and sometimes it's fraudulent and then like the true colors come out.
Right.
But never, ever, 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 no matter how dirty somebody could do you or even because you take accountability and like your contributions for growth. We've had multiple conversations about mm-hmm. that and how you've shown up in relationship. But never, ever, ever, ever do you lose sight of, okay, this didn't work out, on to the next. Like you were always ready to like heal so that you can get to the good stuff again.
I mean, it's not easy. You know, it's, I have the idea of like knowing what I want, but that process is not easy at all. Like you go through like I said, we talked about the mm-hmm. darkness to get to the light. So, you know, I'll be on my workouts. I'll be, you know, doing all the journaling. I'm hiking. I'm finding outlets to get to that part, to believe again. And I will say, contrary to what you said, I also have been done wrong, but I also have been treated really well too.
This is true.
I have to say that's true. Not been this just everybody's fraudulent.
I've had
beautiful relationships and men that have loved me and have shown up in big ways. And
this
have,
is true.
I mean, it's why I'm used to the good treatment, because I do have, you know, I have had really great treatment as well. So I want to make sure that
that's
it's
true.
Not all bad.
Okay, I stand corrected. So it's not that it's been, you know, these men from hell or anything like that.
There's been a few
irresponsible adults.
Right.
But you are right. The demand or the command for mm-hmm. treating you like a queen has been there and it has shown up. So you have had really incredible relationships. And I think that it's those positive experiences that also aid in your ability to say, okay, it is possible. Where
Absolutely.
For a lot of women, when it's been negative, 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 mm-hmm. right? There's been no pouring into their love cup to help their belief system mm-hmm. about true love or genuine or, you know, being crazy in love, being real for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a, you know, very great point. Mm-hmm. What I want to give is the reality of what I think the culture is telling us right now. So which also inspired today's episode. I'm going to read you guys this like long ass post. I think it's from the Shade Room, but I'm going to read it because it made me think about me and Didi and our like deep desire for companionship and love. And I really appreciated this girl. Her name is Kira J. Spiritual Word is who posted her. Okay. And it made me think about doing this episode with you. And just cause we always have these like super deep conversations mm-hmm. about love, but this girl gets super vulnerable. And and I will tell you what she says and why I like what she says after I read this long ass post to you guys. So here you go. Kira J said, or posted, "Full transparency, I've been alone for a long time now, but this is the first time in a long time that I have been lonely. Most of my friends are married or in relationships, so I'm always the third wheel, being out with a couple now or just being by myself. And making more friends doesn't help. I have no shortage of platonic intimate bonds, but that's not the type of intimacy my heart is craving. Society keeps telling women to love themselves as if self-love will ever replace the desire for romantic love. And they also tell us to be strong and we don't need no man to define us, as if admitting that you want to be loved makes you weaker than pretending that you don't care. I feel vulnerable enough to share this because I know there's a lot of men and women that can relate. Loneliness is a very real emotion, and don't let anyone make you feel desperate for admitting that you feel it. This season of loneliness is self-inflicted. I haven't been held by a man in a really long time. I haven't dated or slept with anyone in a long time. I went through a lot in the past, and I finally gave myself permission to heal. In this healing, I have to separate logic from emotion. Logically, I need to continue on the path I'm on because the men I've chosen weren't good for me. So until I do better by myself, I have to stay by myself. That's logic. Emotions say, this doesn't feel good. Why can't you go back to the last guy or call someone to give you some attention? Your emotions don't always have your best interest because they don't want you to feel pain. But sometimes you have to be sad for your long-term happiness goal. My long-term goal is marriage and more children, partnership and stability, protection and support. So I have had to consciously choose to put my long-term goals over my temporary satisfaction. So yeah, I'm lonely at the moment, but I'm not going to let that loneliness send me back to men I've prayed my way from. To everyone reading this, keep doing the work. It's all going to work out for you. Okay. Thank you, Kira J, for that long post. Shout out to Spiritual Word. Reason why this stood out to me, right? You guys may gather other information from it or other points that hit home with you. But what I loved is that she was calling out society for telling us that self-love is the solution for everything. And I think that there is this narrative out there of you don't need a man. You don't need a man. You don't need a man. And I think that you can actually deeply love yourself, still feel loneliness sometimes because there's nothing in comparison to companionship. I'm sorry. Like,
absolutely not.
Partnership and companionship, right? It's a game changer. And I, as someone who has been single in the streets, been single, not in the streets, and just kept to myself. And then someone who has been in incredible relationships and someone who has been in like the worst of tumultuous relationships. Nothing compares to the kind of partnership, one that I have now, or the deep love that partnership brings when you're in a healthy relationship. And I think that you sit with me on being truthful about being okay saying, I need a partner, I need a man.
I can't even, like, that's for me, and I'm speaking for myself and whoever is on this particular journey. I think there's nothing greater than having the companionship. I absolutely need a man. I absolutely want a person to walk in this life with, to build with, to grow with, to share my pain with, to share my excitement with. Like, there's nothing better. But what I appreciate about her post, though, is the idea that it's like using logic versus emotion and also feeling the pain. Like, people don't want to sit with pain. That's why you go someone, or that's why you dip you in the relationship. You don't want to feel the pain. I think it's important to sit with it, feel it. So you understand it and know how to balance it. I think that her post was really transparent. It was vulnerable. I appreciate how honest she was about taking the time out to herself to just be alone for a second, for the sacrifice to get to the place she wants to be, which is a long-term relationship. So I agree with her. I, you know, like I said, we share a lot of the same sentiments about love and needing a partner, wanting a partner, not being dependent on a partner, but just having that kind of support in your life can make you move mountains. And that's where it's at. And society has, I mean, self-love is one thing, but you can't self-love your way out of the pain. You have to really, like I said, sit with it. And, you know, I just think that I share her sentiments just wholeheartedly.
I think we have demonized being truthful about needing partnership in order to make ourselves feel better when we don't have it. And then also sometimes it helps medicate the fear of what if I don't get it, right? By saying like, I don't need this thing. And I'm in the business of love. Trust me, you need love, okay? There's a reason that God created us on this earth to have companion and partnership. And God was even freaking lonely. So for him to say, I need to create these beings, I need to create these creatures, I need to make a sun and a moon for entertainment, I need to create, you know what I'm saying?
Everybody like, has a purpose,
Like he, even God, whether it's women or male, I'm not sure, but God even, right, probably embodies both, but God even was like, no, I don't want to be alone in this world. I'm going to create this universe for my own fulfillment and entertainment, to be worshipped, to be loved, to be adored. And so we as humans, which mirror God and we embody because we have him in us, we even need that as well. And I think that we do ourselves a disservice to say that we don't need it and look at it, if we use the word need, as it being from a deficit, okay? Studies actually do show that if children don't get love, right? They've done studies on animals, they studied on humans. Every creature on earth, if you don't, if you do not get love, you will have a tragic future if you don't get love poured into you, right? Even plants need love. Like everything that carries energy, everything that has a life needs love in order to grow. And I think that it's unfortunate that when we use the word need in this negative way, that we start to buy into it and we stop focusing on how to meet and connect with a companion And I love that she even admitted like she's doing the work, right?
Right.
Your point about logic and emotion, I want you guys to ask this and think of this yourself. And I'm going to ask Didi first this question. Let's use percentage. When it comes to relationship, what percentage would you say operates from emotion and what percentage operates from logic?
Now, that's also a really good question. And I have to be honest, I will say I'm an emotionally driven person. You know, as an actor, obviously, we have to tap into our emotions. So I feel things maybe a lot differently than a normal human because I just feel, you know, I'm an empath. But I think in relationship, because I am hopeful, because I do believe in love, because I have like this view of what I want, I will lead with the emotion, I think, because I'm hopeful that it will be reciprocated and I will be matched with the person who will give me that same energy. I think when I operate in logic, when at the point where something happens, right, where there's a shift or where there's, you know, I get where maybe there's a, like when something shifts with the other person and it feels like there may be some shadiness or there's something that we're not syncing right now. We're not in sync. I'll start to get more logical. Like, okay, what is this about? You know, is there someone else? You know, I kind of get more in my head about it. But as far as like percentage wise, I would say it's not 50-50.
What? It's hella far from 50-50.
I know. And I'll be honest, I'm going to be vulnerable and honest about this. I probably am 70-30. Maybe 60-40.
What? 60-40 of emotion. You're giving yourself that much? Like, I would say you are 80-20.
Wow.
Yes.
80-20?
80% emotion, 20% logic. And you aren't only getting those 20% because you have me in your life.
Man, you guys, I said the truth hurts.
Look, okay. Because even what you said right now, you were like, you know, if the emotional attachment that you have isn't reciprocated, you'll start to then assess. But I feel like the fact that you're assessing, that only kicks in because an emotional fear-based response. So it's still emotional when you start to like look for evidence. And mind you, when I talk about evidence, let me tell you, this woman, I had this dude that I was dating back in the day. And thank God for friends, because I had a feeling that he wasn't only sleeping with me, okay? We were not in a committed relationship. It was a situationship. But he made me feel like, you know, it was magical. I felt a shift, and I tell you, and how about you come back with evidence from Facebook photos? That's how old this is. Evidence from Facebook photos about the bracelets that he comes over to the house with, matching this random girl at an event, bracelets that she was wearing. And it was the exact same bracelets and the exact same, like, and then you started to piece together different things that she's been at, that he also was at, timestamps. I was like, oh, Inspector Azure D Gadget over here. Like, that's, so that was some logic that kicked it. You were like, oh, I got
you. Because it was some suspect behavior. Yes. So at that point, it's like, I don't want to operate. I don't operate like, you know, I'm very optimistic about it. So I'm going to keep being present with you and being, you know, loving with you
until
something is not, the math ain't mathing.
Yep.
And so at that point, I need to step back and say, wait a minute, this don't sound right.
Yeah.
What's going on? And so at the point when I'm seeing you involved and you're into it, and then we're like, something is suspect. We found evidence to support that something is suspect. So, you know, I feel like I don't want to operate. And it could be, you know, you can get hurt and all that, but I want to operate with the belief that you're good before you're bad.
Yeah.
And then when you're bad or when you show signs of something not being right, then I'm going to use my logic, because I am a very intelligent woman as well. I'm going to, you know, check it and make sure I check my sources and see what's going on.
Yeah.
Like, don't have me in no circus, you know?
I think though, for men, because we are in relationship with them, right? they aren't using as much emotion right. as soon as we are. So I mm-hmm. think to our detriment, what often happens is we're being driven by all this emotion.
Yes.
And they're thinking the entire time, like, does this make sense for me? Right. right. Like, is she an asset or a liability? Exactly. If I'm really going to like fuck with her the long way, mm-hmm. What is she contributing? What is she taking from? Right. right? And then because they are physically driven with, you know, wanting to sleep with us, sometimes they will try to give us the emotional bump or the mm-hmm. emotional spike that we need in order to get us in the bed. Mm-hmm. And it's not from a manipulation tactic, because I don't think that men are trying to manipulate in those moments. I think that they understand that there are certain sentiments they need to make us feel in order to get us to a place where we're willing to spread our legs.
Right.
So us knowing that, and the way that I go about like teaching my clients is very much, I take the information like you just gave, right? If you share with me that you are 80%, because I'm
70,
I'm proclaiming
30, 60,
this. Okay, 40. I'm not taking that evidence. I can see, I know the real. 80% emotion, 20% logic. I don't believe love to be a feeling. Mm. I think that it is a combo, right? A sushi combo, okay? I believe that it is partially logic and partially emotion. I don't think that it should just be 100% emotion. That means that it's behaviors. What mm-hmm. actions are you showing me to support the sentiment that I'm feeling? Mm-hmm. So me knowing that if you were my client and you were coming in, I would, similar to what I do just as friends, but I would start to like assess, okay, I get that we feel this way, but what are the behaviors? What is the actions that he's showing us to support this on a consistent basis for a X amount of time? And mm-hmm. if it's too soon to be feeling the emotions that you're feeling, that 80, dang, you're just gonna give them 80%, like yeah. 80% within a couple weeks, because yeah. that's really what a lot of times we do as women. I'm there to hold you accountable, like my clients, right? You have the benefits of this relationship, yeah. but there's a lot of benefits that come to my package.
I got the Didi, benefits.
Like Didi gets, I get a lot of benefits from her package as well.
I got
well,
a
though.
Coach already, like just.
But you know, yanking that chain and being like, like, come on now, Fahidi, like. What's really going? I
Did
can't
you just
not
say,
use my nicknames for you.
It's Azure D. Azure D, everyone.
Fahidi Didi.
Oh,
I can't not bring certain things to your attention. And so, but always going on this ride with you and trying to be like a support unit. But then at the same time, I love now that you trust me to talk to them. I think that that's so beautiful that you can call me with them now. And you, that, because that really shows a certain, another level of trust, right? When you
Absolutely.
Are like, dang, Mari, I can't wait for you to meet him and talk to him. Not because you, not because my opinion will change your mind, because when you're set on something, you are set on something, but you do appreciate the support and you do appreciate like my insight, but I still can't sway you one way or another. You are very much like, my mind is made up. If I love him, we are team him all day, right? But you will hear me out now, because I think of some of the heartbreaks. I think mm-hmm. it took certain relationships to not work out mm-hmm. to now where you're like, okay, I trust you enough to speak to him and not embarrass me yeah. too much. And
no, I think you've earned that too. It's like, you know, like I said, not only are you my best friend, but you know, the work you do, I mean, you're changing lives. You have really spent years dedicating yourself to helping people find their purpose mates. That's amazing. And I, not just because you're my friend, I can still separate and say, no, I yeah. actually value your expertise. I value how you can speak to the reality and of my situations, mm-hmm. how you can speak to the truth of it and to get me to see the truth of it. Sometimes when I'm just not seeing it.
Yeah.
So it's not, yes, you're my friend, but I also, like I said, I really value your insight. So it's one of those things where I think with my journey, my particular journey, I am a person who I really enjoy the beginning. You know,
yeah.
it's the beginning, it's like the best part. And so I just lean into it.
Yeah.
You know, and then when things are, if not when, because I'm not speaking that they're always going to go bad, but there are times where it changes. And I really try my best to just believe, and I try to keep this hope alive that love will win, that love is still going to be present. the logic part, I do agree with you. And in a previous situation, you did counsel me through something where it's like, are there actions matching it? Mm-hmm. And they were at the time. The actions were there. And then it didn't happen. I mean, it shifted into something else. So
I still are running that narrative? Because I still feel like it was suspect from day one.
Okay.
But I'm going to let you.
Which situation you're talking about. So, there's a lot
the
of.
The last.
It's all a general.
We're talking about the last. That's what you were referring to.
The last before the last.
You said. Oh, yeah, the last before the last. So you do know which one I'm talking about then. Could you just correct me?
I know, but it's, I have a myriad of experiences, so it's not like I'm drawing from all of the experiences.
This is true.
Spicy.
This is true.
I'm drawing from everything because I think all of them inform me now, and I do think that my logic sensibility now is different.
Oh, my God, you are more sensible.
It's a whole different game. But I had to go through those things. I had to be a little love struck, a little love bombed, and falling into these, mm-hmm. Things. Or even going through, and they haven't all been the same. So like now at this point, I think my logic sensibilities are a little bit higher. Mm-hmm. So I'm speaking, from before, but now I think I'm pretty well balanced now.
What did it make you feel when I said like serial dater or loveaholic?
Loveaholic has a negative connotation to me. I'm not gonna lie. Like I'm just drunk in love, and I'm just like. Everybody, you can love, you can love.
Oh, you didn't know this was an intervention? No.
And I feel like, I can look at that from a negative place, but because I embrace being a lover, I'm a loveaholic. And I will stand by that love is special, love is beautiful, love is the driving force. The most important organ is our heart. And I feel like the heart and love, it gives you a different feeling in life, and it's something to be inspired by, something to be motivated by, and it's love is where it's at. So being a loveaholic, that you deem me a loveaholic,
yes.
I'll take it. Like I said,
I don't mean it in a negative way, so I want to clarify.
Okay.
So yes, it sounds.
It sounds like you just be giving love away. You just out here.
But I do feel like you do. Okay, so I'll use an example from like, we can be at a let's just say that's like the ESPY Awards. Mm-hmm. We can be at the ESPYs, and a starter for whatever team can walk up to you, and you would be like, yes, you have my time and full attention for the next 10 minutes. Go ahead and pitch me, or. We can be at Runyon Canyon and the homeless person jumps out of the woods and you will still be like, yes, you have my time and attention for 10 minutes. And I'm like, are we really entertaining
that
the homeless
person? That speaks to my
person? Humanity,
okay?
Yes, but you will hear him out.
I will.
And, you guys, I'm not playing on this.
I will.
And this is not to say that he is less than, but this is to say that there is absolutely no way, chance, or hope in heck that you will allow this person to like love on you or pull you, right? But you will still give each person this individualized time and attention that makes each person feel seen, heard, and understood. Absolutely.
Yes.
And also instilling hope within them. Mm-hmm. And I think that is very powerful. I think that while you have this deep, huge desire to feel love, you also operate in a place of being love.
Absolutely.
And that is what I also very much love about you.
Aw, don't make me cry.
Cry, cry.
I don't want to cry.
Cry, cry.
This
cry.
Is girls talking.
Cry, cry, cry.
You've been trying to make me cry forever. But that was really beautiful. I received that. I think that's one of my gifts. And, so loveaholic.
Lovers Anonymous.
Whatever you want to say. Hi, I'm Azure D, and I'm a loveaholic. But no, I received that, and that is, you nailed it. I don't even have to explain because mic drop. That is who I am. That's the essence of who I am. That's how I live. That's how I operate. But I will, like I said, if we bring it back to relationships, I have been trying to use more discernment.
Yeah.
In that process of allowing that said person in. With more logic and making sure that their actions match, their words.
Yeah. What people are going to ask, though, is like, okay, you have Spicy Madi as one of your besties. You are a loveaholic. Why are you still single? Why have you not found that person? And I feel like for me, like, that's just an easy answer that I can just like throw out there. I don't even need you to respond to that. Because you are such a loveaholic, you, like most of us women, have extended your energy and time and space to men deserving and undeserving, but that weren't necessarily ready at the same time as you were for like marriage and moving the relationship to the next needle. I think you're at a place in your life right now where you are ready to be a wife. I think like you have graduated through the school of love knocks.
Hard knocks. Yeah. Love knocks. Right.
And you are now like, okay, I think this is the time when I'm ready to be selfless. And you've always been a server, but I think that you were not always mindful in relationships. You weren't always about as intentional as you are now in how you show up for someone, but also demanding the reciprocity, but then also creating space
Doing your pizza.
You're so open to the exercises now. Like, I love when people DM me and they're like, Spicy, I did the pizza.
The pizza is classic. That's it. That's such
a game changer.
Yeah, game changer for sure.
And I love that you did that with me. And I feel like now you really are like, okay, Izzy the pizza. Because you operate 80% emotion, 20% logic, the pizza now gives you an opportunity to say, is he a good person? Does he have the character things that I need in order to respect and admire him? And believe he is a good human. Does he, you know, that's the crust. Does he have the sauce? Is he, does he treat me the way that I deserve? And does he do these things on a consistent basis? Do I like the way he makes me feel on a consistent basis? And then the toppings, of course, like, you know, you love hotties. So it's not hard for you to get the toppings. It's the sauce and the crust that I always care about with you. But I think seeing you navigate now with a little roadmap, I think has been very helpful.
It's helped me to find what I want.
Yeah.
That's golden.
Yes.
And I think sometimes we're out here dating and doing this and that, and we don't really know. So you may be get wooed over the the toppings. You're like, oh, he's tall, he's this, he's that. But the crust and the sauce is really the meat of it. Yeah. And like, we overlook that. I mean, you know this, you teach this in your class and, you know, with
but
your
clients. But I love hearing you educated on
but,
it. Keep
but
going.
It's crazy because I just, I'm so familiar with your, with your.
With my methods.
With your methods. And but it really works. And I think before we did the pizza, I don't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
I felt really lost. And after the pizza, I was like, oh, it's clear. I get it now. Yeah. Oh, this is what I want.
Yeah.
You know, this is what it should feel like. This is what it should look like. And it's totally changed my lens and perspective on, you know, seeing and viewing or being able to recognize that person.
And I think what's good too is that it helps you in the belief of he exists, because a lot of the things mirror already things that you do within the pizza, right? The good person and the sauce. You're like, dang, this is kind of like low key me already. Right. Like, I exist, therefore I know he exists.
Yeah.
And I think that your hope is what really has driven you having so many relationships, good and bad. But
not
I think,
so many. Dang.
Look, I started off with saying, like, we've been in a lot of relationships. Like, that it contributes to our wealth of knowledge and our experience.
Absolutely.
And I do know and believe that your husband is coming soon. And I will, I'm sure we're going to be a part of that journey, just like everyone, you know, but I appreciate and what I admire in you that I constantly am trying to teach to my clients is that you have to be the love that you want to attract. And what that looks like is being in love with the thing that you actually want as well. Right. So it's not enough to just mirror the kind of person that you want. You also have to be in love with the species. So men, right? A lot of women will say, I want a man, I want a man, I want a man. And then when I assess, I'm like, but do you really like men? Do you really love men? They cannot tell me anything that they love about men. They've lost hope. So I'm asking you, just like I ask all my clients, what do you love about men? Give me 20 things.
Okay, 20.
20. Let's see if we can do it.
20?
20 things that you love about the male species.
I do love men.
The male species.
I love their masculinity. I love the way they smell. I love their ability to be great fathers. I love the providing abilities. I love the way they speak into women. I guess I could say me. I love the way men speak into me. Like, if I'm not feeling attractive, a man has a way of making you feel beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that they can be foundations in the family, that they are leaders. I love the style of a man. I love the strength of a man, the passion of a man. I love the hard work ethic of a man. Where am I at?
That's 10.
Dang. Okay, 10 more. Oh, this is hard. Okay. Did I say I love the way they smell? Because scent
is
so important.
Yeah, you said scent. I dang, you love scent. Yes.
I love the scent. If you smell good, listen.
That's in me head. I stole a cologne from your man one time and bought it for my husband.
Listen.
The scent.
I know the scents, okay? Because I'm like myself, so I know the scents. I love their... oh my goodness, I feel like I'm on the spot.
You can
I said
do
10
it.
Good ones.
You can do it.
So 10 more.
Yep.
They are creative. They invent things. They've invented a lot of cool things. They operate from, they lead with logic. So that's as women, that's a good balance, and they're more predictable than we are, and they can kind of keep that balance for us.
Yeah.
I love the, where are we at? I need to know.
14.
14. Okay. I love their bodies.
You can say that.
I love, I love the way a man commands a room, the confidence.
Yep.
I love a man who can be in touch with his vulnerability. I think that's a powerful trait of a man who can be in his vulnerability. I love their voice. I just love their voice. I love. Oh gosh, the fact that they can co-create and they can be they can create a child with you.
Yeah,
they can be the giver of life. Well, we are the giver of life, but they help to create that.
They plant the seed.
Right, they plant
literally
the seed.
Plant the seed.
Literally, give us the seed. I love. Where are we at?
Yeah, one more.
One more. Okay, this has to be a good one. I love the way they love.
Be more specific.
When a man is in love with you, how he shows up for you, how he speaks to you, how he treats you, that feeling is, there's nothing better for me.
Yeah.
And because I've experienced the best love, you know, like I said, stemming from my father to certain relationships, the love that they have shown and how that has affected me has been monumental in my life. So I would say the way a man loves, when he's really like, I mean, you can see, I mean, we see on Instagram huge displays of love, but in real life, I've actually witnessed, like, when I see my friends loved by their person, by their partner, and the way a man shows up when he loves someone. Chef's kiss. Yes.
Okay, so let me tell you what I love.
Those were good ones.
So yes, you hit the number right, 20. Okay. Women who are listening are going to be like, well, dang. I couldn't even come up with 5 on my own.
It's hard to do in 20 seconds.
But you did a really good job, right? And certain women may even like take your list because they're like, I can't come up with my own list, right? Mm-hmm. But some women are going to hear it and then not even be able to come up with like a few. Other women may hear it and be like, dang, I couldn't complete it because I don't know if I really feel the way that Azure D feels. And for me, listening and knowing that, right? Because I sit on the receiving end from clients who don't love men, who are like, fudge, help me fall in love with this thing. I know I want it. I know I need it, but I don't.
Because they've been hurt.
Because they've been hurt because they didn't have an example growing up of the things that you just said, right? So it's hard to buy into that these men exist if there's no evidence of that. But I use the example of finances. We'll do it for finances, right? We will, you and I grew up with very humble beginnings, right? Like we didn't have much as kids. We call ourselves poor. Oh, my mom said, don't use poor. My mom said, use broke.
We're broke. We definitely were
My mom
broke.
Was like, why can't you say broke? Don't use poor. I was like, okay, whatever.
Same
mom.
Thing. Oh. Tomato, tomato.
But so I say that to say that although that was how we grew up and we did not see money, growing up, we didn't see wealth, we didn't see success, our parents weren't like college educated, there was still this drive in us to know that it was still possible for ourselves, and we put in the work to be able to be at a place where we could take care of ourselves and be able to take care of our loved ones, right? It's the same thing with relationship. Although we may not grow up in a household where our parents were madly in love with each other, the belief system for a lot of people to enter into a relationship is a lot harder when they're like, well, I didn't have an example. I didn't feel like I could touch it. I didn't feel like I could taste it. Media set the example for me of what a relationship should even look like. And so it's hard for people to buy into that these men exist if they've never held one, touched one, taste one, felt one, been courted by one, and saw one in the household, let alone even with other friends or family members. Mm-hmm. So we're asking them to almost believe in a unicorn.
Right. I mean, well, it's the same concept with anything. You start a business, right?
Anything.
Like, I have multiple friends who are entrepreneurs, you're included.
Boop, boop.
And I remember when this was just an idea. And now, and it was your belief, your self-belief, not only in your business and your idea, but just you had your own motivation. Like, you were like, I'm determined to create my own life. I want to own my own business. I want to do that.
Yep.
You didn't have this. Spicy Life didn't have a, you know, you didn't have an example before. You
right. Had there was no blueprint.
Create it from going from rate. So I think it's the same thing. Like, you have to just, you have to trust that it exists and you can have it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of this is faith.
Yep.
Faith. A lot of this is, you know, but we apply that to our spiritual beliefs.
For sure.
We've never seen God, but we know he exists. We're those that believe.
Yep.
You know, it's applying these same things into the love space.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, as long as you believe it and if you apply the same things, you can start to manifest it in reality.
Yeah.
And I've literally watched it happen. Social media also allows us to see somebody have an idea and nothing existed before that and they created it. So we have all the examples you need. You may not have had the father I had.
Mm-hmm.
You may not have had the treatment I've gotten from men who've loved me, but you still have real life examples that we can just go on our phone and see, or in our family or a friend of a friend, it does exist. And I feel like if we have a negative view of it,
mm-hmm.
if we're like, oh, whatever, I'm gonna be lonely. If you have this negative view, then of course you're gonna generate that in your reality.
Yeah.
But if you believe, then you'll keep attracting it. And I just feel like, although I'm not married, I am still living proof that you can get it, you know? So I don't know. I think it's all about mindset. It's all about perspective. And with anything, you just have to believe. This sounds kind of corny, but it's I feel like I'm it's true.
You just gotta believe.
Right? You know?
But I think that is the piece, though, right? So, like, in this question around what do you love about men, the reason why it's important that you guys think about that is because if you want this thing, right, if you want companionship and you want partnership and you want a man, but you don't love men, that is working against law of attraction,
mm-hmm.
law of vibration, right? You are not going to be able to manifest that because you aren't madly in love with the thing that you are trying to manifest. The second element in why you need the self-love component, so old girls like message earlier, you need the self-love because if you are not in love with self, mm-hmm. law of attraction still won't work
mm-hmm.
because you need someone to come along to fall in love with you.
Right.
So you are making a disconnect between the love for them and the love for you that they should have if you don't love self. So that's mm-hmm. why it starts with the self, guys. But you need to understand that it is very important that if you need help, if you haven't had an example, then you may be someone who needs a coach so that you can fall back in love with the thing that it is that you say that you want, right? It's why, like, I even exist, is because mm-hmm. let me help you change your beliefs by doing some reprogramming mm-hmm. that will help you get there. So mm-hmm. I'm saying this to you guys just so that you can think about, like, dang, am I that person that, like, can't mm-hmm. come up with a list of 20 and that isn't really that crazy about the thing that I think that I want? Because there is help and resources out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that I believed every single 20 of the things that you said. I was like, yes, I believe all those.
That was not easy, though.
I'm
not
going
to
lie.
To come up with that on the spot, it's like, but my reverence for men, you know, not men in general, but just man, the species.
Yeah.
I just leaned into the idea that, wow, you know, watching a man build something or, you know, seeing a man be vulnerable or, like, those are the things, you know, like, those are the aspects that we have to appreciate.
That's what other thing you said. So I love that you said seeing a man be emotional and vulnerable, mm-hmm. right? To me, that is so beautiful. And that is the secret sauce to getting commitment and getting a man to walk down the aisle. If you can get a man emotionally attached, you have the man. The problem with a lot of us women, because we operate in so much masculine energy,
mm-hmm.
we lose the feminine energy
mm-hmm.
and overcompensate for a lack of love. We desensitize desensitize ourselves from the feeling component mm-hmm. and from the vulnerability component, therefore not allowing us to use our vulnerability superpower that makes them feel soft and safe, that mm-hmm. gets them emotional mm-hmm. to then fall in love with us, right? So yeah. there's the same power that I said that you would have, like if we went to the ESPYs versus like the homeless person that you mm-hmm. gave that energy to, you have the ability to make both of those type of people emotional because you operate in a let me love you right now and let me embrace your love energy, mm-hmm. okay?
Yeah, I would say that that was a work in progress for me to develop that. Or I've always been empathetic mm-hmm. and, you know, cared about humanity and people mm-hmm. as just feeling seen. But as far as, like, knowing how to use that, I think that there have been some relationships where I've shown up in my masculine. Mm-hmm. And I had to learn that when you're in your feminine, when you're, you know, you're creating a space for them to be softer, yeah. gentler. That was learned. That was something that as a result of certain relationships, I led to that.
Yeah.
But it wasn't always like that. And I think that the practice of it right now, I'm leaning into the practice of it. Yeah. I'm like fully feminine. I'm in my soft girl era. Hey. I'm like receiving the love. I'm sitting in it. I'm allowing, you know, and I feel the best in my when I'm in my feminine. Yeah. Though. I thrive in that.
I like to be kept. I like to be.
I like that feeling. And that doesn't mean that it's independent of me. You know, it's I can be both. But I love being in my feminine. I love it. And I love the reaction I get when I'm in my feminine fully. You know, I can show up as my best when I'm in my feminine.
But a lot of people say, well, like, well, if a man's not sitting in his masculine, like, then they can't sit in their feminine.
Like and the polarity.
And. Well, yes. And what I have to say to that is the way that you show up in your femininity, I feel like, while you may disagree with this, I feel like it's actually not indicative of them. What I see from you is what a lot of women should do and what I coach a lot of women on is showing up in femininity, showing up in femininity, showing up in femininity, showing up in femininity, learning when to pivot back and forth right. when masculine and energy is needed. But operating it as your way of being so that when a man comes along and he's like, hey, I want to audition for the part. If he's not sitting in his masculinity the way that you need and he shows up with too much femininity, you will now be able to tell if you're not compatible based on you being your authentic feminine energy. But if you show up in masculinity and he's not showing up with the energy that you need, now you're in character and you're not able to tell, like, are me and this man really compatible?
Right.
So I think that you've done a great job in leaning in with your femininity. And I've seen it shift back and forth, right. You know, from time to time, but always reconnecting back to your source.
Because it's my default. I think it's all about, like, what's your default? I think my default is I'm in my feminine. But there's times where I have to be other things based on, you know, whether it's in work or whatever. But in my relationship, like, I want to be in my default, which is in my feminine.
Yeah. You know? And I think that serves you better because now we can tell who we're really compatible with. And I say we. Yes, because I take on your relationships. Right. I'm like, oh, we're going to find
us
a husband.
You in it with
me. Yes, we're about to find us a husband, right? Like, because I really just, I feel like, I feel like I'm not just a part of the process, but you want to see your friends thriving. You want to see your friends in love. And I feel like you're finally in a place where you will listen to me. And so you, the coaching, right? Plus the ability for us to go out there and connect. I think like you have everything working in your favor and you're not at a place. We're not at a place where you would be like, okay, you know what, Mari, what should I do about? Or like, how can I handle this? Or even, I just feel like that's such a great place for you to be in. Cause I'm like, yes, this is what I've always wanted. Yeah. Let me help you.
Yeah, no, I think you have been a great force. I mean, I've obviously done a lot of self-work as well.
A lot.
Like, I'm about this life. So, you know, I've been doing self-work for years.
But I think that's why you were able to even us be in a place of compatibility now in this process because you did the self-work.
Right.
Before you may have been close to me and been like, and let me help you guys understand. A lot of times I get clients because they don't trust their friends or they don't want the bias of their friends and that is very hard to be unbiased to your friends when you've seen so much about their love life, right? Mm-hmm. So it's why I, even in business, because your friends aren't always going to give you the best advice and it's not always going to be unbiased. Mm-hmm. With our relationship, I do have to pivot hats of, okay, am I going to show up Mari the friend right now, or mm-hmm. am I going to show up like the expert?
Right, right.
And I think that I'm fortunate that you finally came to a place where you were like, okay, you can show, I'll let you show up for me as both. Where before I could only show up for you as a friend. And now you're like, I respect you. Give me what you got. And that to me is such an honor.
No, it is. I mean, I always respected you though. It was never, but it's like we've known each other for so many years.
You wouldn't listen to my counsel, and now you listen to my counsel. And well, I'm like, woohoo.
No, I would listen. I mean, we've been friends for so long before the Spicy Life even existed. So we've just always have been able to speak into each other's lives. Now, I feel like you've dedicated your life to this craft of helping people find love. So you have a lot more experience. You deal with a lot of people. And so I think there's a lot to be gained from what you're experiencing in doing this work.
I think you were way in. I think I had to put a certain amount of years in you guys to eradicate my thought and bopping days with her.
I mean, listen, I really know her, y'all. I really, really know her.
For her to say, okay, now I believe you know what you're talking about. Because I've seen you in the streets, okay? Yeah. I say this like playfully, but you really have even seen like me grow up and vice versa. And I think that's the beautiful thing about our friendship. Mm-hmm. And I think all of our friend group like loves the way that you love. I think it's such a beautiful thing, and I want more people to have that. That's why I wanted the episode to be about I'm in love with love. I think I also though too have to speak about the toxicity of sometimes when we are immature and we haven't done the work, mm-hmm. and you're a loveaholic, it can look like you going from only toxic experience to toxic mm-hmm. experience to toxic experience, never evaluating how you are contributing to the toxicity. I don't think that has that's not even the case that I need to address with you. I needed to just address it on the show because there are those people who are serial daters but aren't going about it in the right way because they haven't done the work to make healthy decisions, right?
I can also speak to that.
Taking a break. Okay, speak to it, guys. I was trying to go there with
because
you.
Because it's not all this flowers and roses. Okay. It's like, I'm gonna be honest, like I was in relationships. There were some parts of it that were toxic, and then I didn't do the proper healing. And I got into another situation, and some of that stuff spilled over into the next relationship. And I think ultimately was the demise of that said relationship. So it hasn't been all peaches and sunflowers. Mm-hmm. You know, I had to learn that as well. Like, you can really make a mistake by not doing the work. Mm-hmm. We can't run from the work. We can't run from evaluating ourselves. Really, you know, having a deep dive examination of how I showed up, what I did wrong, you know, taking accountability for like what co-created the situation, because mm-hmm. it's not just one person in a relationship. Yep. There are two people that exist in this. And so we are two people are co-creating this experience. Mm-hmm. And I had to really look at myself and say, okay, and I think I've even bounced ideas with some of you guys. Mm-hmm. Like, what did I do? Like, listen to this. What do you feel I did in this situation? Or how could I have done this better? I remember having these specific conversations with you mm-hmm. because I know you're going to tell me the real. Like, we have to be honest with that.
Yeah.
It's about looking in the mirror, being honest with yourself. And so you don't show up the same way in the next situation. Mm-hmm. That took me doing that. Like, in those in-between times. And I didn't do it in one relationship. I brought that extra baggage. But you know, you got to keep learning, but you got to face it. You got to really deal with yourself before you get into your next situation, because you'll create that again.
I wonder if I would love for, let me say, I would love for more friends to have those type of conversations, right? What I have fun with and what I've talked about before on other things, but one of the exercises that I do with my clients is make them do a SWOT analysis. They have to go to their friends and family members and ask them what are their strengths
weaknesses
opportunities and threats.
Yeah.
And
bring that business school.
Yes. Right? Yeah, right. Because that's what it is. We'll do it for money. We'll do it for like our career. We'll do a SWOT analysis, but we're not doing enough SWOTs on ourselves.
That's a great idea.
So thank you. It's in my growth guide. you guys can have the growth guide on thespicylife.com.
Little plug. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's one of the exercises that I think really helps you in understanding like how you show up in the world. And is it is it actually who you believe yourself to be, or is it just your perspective, right? So hearing from other people really gives you an opportunity and chance, because while it may be in relation to their relationship with you, it still gives you perspective of like, oh, I didn't see that blind spot. I didn't see, you know, that I did this. And I think we've even had that in our friendship before, where we had to have a hard conversation with each other and how we showed up for one another, what we did that was immature, what we did that was hurtful, what we did that, you know, because Didi and I have gone through
we had a breakup.
It was a real breakup.
A real friendship breakup.
A real
for like a year.
Breakup. Oh my God. It was a heartbreak.
It was a real breakup.
Dang, it's making me think that I need to do another episode.
You should.
That needs to be a whole other episode. Yeah.
But that's
I'm gonna table that because I want to do
a whole episode.
Yeah. Actually, that would be I think I need to bring you back for another episode on friendship heartbreak.
Right? I would love that.
I think we should do a whole episode on how we broke up and how we worked it out. So I'm gonna save that.
Because we really had a mature I think that was probably one of the first adult, mature friendship talks that I've had. That was my first. Obviously, you know, I haven't had multiple ones of those, but I did have one actually last night with another friend. That really let me know
We could do this.
We're grown now. So we need to have these hard conversations, because friendships are relationships.
Oh my God, like, yes.
We have breakups. We go through our learning each other, communication styles and seeing who, you know.
What's your love language?
Right.
How do I show up for you? What do you need from me? Yeah.
But those grown up conversations are the reason why we're who we are now.
Yep.
You know, so I don't know. I'm a believer in just sticking together and, you know, and having those conversations. So I'm a proponent of that. But yeah, like that would be a great episode.
So we'll do, I'm going to have, when I do my whole like next set of podcasts, I'm going to have you come back for that one.
I want us
to do a whole friendship one, because I think there's so many lessons and gems people can get from that. So sorry to tease you guys with that right now.
Teaser coming soon.
Teaser. When it comes to understanding yourself and being able to lean on friends, I do think that you need to be able to respect their counsel. I do think that you need to see them also walking the walk and talking the talk.
Absolutely.
So I think you also trusting my advice, because you see like my relationship unfold and me actually practice my spicy tips with my husband, or even tell you when like I didn't kill that spicy tip today with him. Like we didn't knock this one out the park. Being honest and vulnerable about some of the flaws of relationship or some of the strengths that we operate in allows you a safe place to be able to say like, okay, I can trust my friend in how she's counseling me or how she's showing up for me. Because I don't want it to just be 100% indicative of my work. I also want it to be in the life that I'm living too.
Absolutely.
I think is very important.
I have like a hands-on, I see you. Like I really have insight to what you're about. This is really who you, like you're living this. You're breathing it.
This
and
is the spicy
it's
life.
It's your purpose and you're thriving in it. So like, absolutely. But I think you're also a mirror. I think you give great feedback. I think friends also give you the feedback.
Yeah.
This is all feedback. And you gotta be receptive to it.
Yep.
Sometimes it's constructive criticism. Sometimes it's gonna be praise. But you gotta be able to like experience it all. And I do trust you.
And it's not always
that.
Gonna feel good.
Yeah.
So I think in hearing when you were going through some of your breakups and or just decisions that you were making maybe in the relationship, I think that if you love someone, they should have permission to tell you
the truth
and what they see going on. And I think that certain times you were closed, but eventually you came around to new now, you know, like DD 2.0.
That Azure D. This whole interview. Azure D.
Fahidi Didi.
Oh, God.
That is.
Okay, Maricela.
That is like. Dang.
Right.
That is like, yes, I will lean into this information, even if I don't like how it's making me feel, right? So like that's when the logic kicks in, is this making sense? Mm-hmm. Is this in support of the goal? The information that the friend is giving me, is it in support of my goal or does it work against my goal? Does it help me become a better person or work against that, right? Because we spoke to logic and emotion earlier. Because sometimes becoming better doesn't always feel good.
Man, it does not. And like I said, because you are coming from a place of love, like I would never question your intentions by giving me feedback. So it's like I don't have a guard up with my tribe, with the people that I trust with imparting their advice into my life and speaking into my life. I don't listen to a lot of people, but the people I do trust, I really trust y'all to help me get through this life shit. I really do. I lean on you guys for that Facts. Support. Yeah. So like, it's not a lot of people, but the ones that are the ones, y'all know.
Yes.
So if I'm going to you experiencing something, I'm going to really fully listen because I know you're coming from a place of love.
Yeah.
And I trust that you have my best interests at heart. And that's why I'm able to receive it like that.
For sure. We're now going to shift because I want to talk about Imani.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Yes, you did a film. Oh, yeah. You had a red carpet for your film on BET Plus the other night. To me, I'm so proud of you. Like, thank to see you still grinding, acting. Like, I remember when you were doing, like, these, you know, small little projects.
Plays.
You were doing, yeah, plays. Oh, my God, when you were doing these plays.
Yes.
But to be now, like, in these, like, you know, box office films, I feel like is incredible. I'm so proud of you. Like, it's not just streaming, but it's also in the theater.
Yeah, and select AMC theaters.
Yes, like, that's huge, right? So, like, when you were talking about, oh, I saw when, you know, I was there before the business. Like, I was there.
We've been on the,
like, when you would just try to come to your little auditions. Right. And, like, you know, I remember you trying to pick out your outfits for the audition. Like, I'm from there from the beginning. So, just seeing you now in a movie where you're playing, like, you know, a character, and like, I'm just like, oh my God, I love one having, you know, front row being witness to my friend excelling. But I want you to talk about the film, talk about Dominique's role and like what we can expect to see you and who is, you know, Dominique in the film. Like, why should we book BET Plus right now and watch it?
Well, it's streaming on BET Plus right now. Imani to me is a really great display of a strong Black female lead. And I have to shout out Brittany Hall because she kills the role. She's the lead of the film. And I would say it's like a female born identity, action packed.
Yeah.
Something you haven't really seen, you know, a lot of familiar faces, some not so familiar. So it's a lot of fresh, new talent.
Yeah.
And everybody's kicking ass. But Brittany is literally kicking ass.
She's like, literally,
she kills
kapow.
It. She's, I mean, she definitely embraces the role. My character is, well, she's the protagonist. I'm kind of, I would be considered the villain. And I, without saying too much about it, like, my role, I kind of help to facilitate an entire, it's hard to not say.
I know. Don't tell us.
Because you gotta watch it. I don't want to give it away, but, it's action packed. It's, story performance driven. Mike Ho does a great job as our director. He really created a great cast of, you know, we all collaborated and everybody brought their A game. I think it was just such a great experience to be a part of an action thriller. It's always been a dream of mine to be a part of an action thriller. I mean, I'm hoping that the next one I'll be really able to do some fighting because I am really athletic. But just to be a part of it is just, you know, a part of my dream.
Yeah.
So I'm so grateful that I was able to be casted in the role. And I think I would say it's like a women empowerment, you know, kick ass, like, all women will be inspired watching this. And it's a lot of surprises, a lot of twists and turns and things you don't expect.
Yeah.
And just a solid, great movie. I mean, we saw it in the theaters for the premiere, and that was my first time seeing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a sexy scene in there. And so it was like, you know, my dad was in the audience, and I'm like, okay, Dad, like, you might see some stuff. But overall,
he's like, I was wiping your ass, child.
He gonna tell me, you gotta ask like your mom.
Oh, my God.
Cringe. Just like cringe. I'm cringing right now, Daddy.
Oh,
TMI.
No. I do that to Prince. So, I'm like, baby, that's your booty. He's like, I think that's your booty.
Right. But my dad has seen every performance, every play, from college to now, every premiere, every TV show, every commercial. So he looks at it like you're just in, you know, you're living your passion, your dream. So it was lots of fun, lots of work, labor of love. And I'm excited that we got distribution. And we are, like I said, streaming now on BET Plus and in select AMC theaters. You just have to check your listings, but
I'm gonna circle back to I'm gonna go in our youth, right? Okay. I think this was
early. Our youth. I'm still young. What you talking about?
Okay, early 20s. Okay. Okay.
Yes. I mean, I'm 27.
We're still young. Yeah. Edit that out. No. Early 20s. I remember. I set out to. I think it was early on. I'm going to host and I'm like, I'm going to be, you know, this amazing relationship host. And you're like, I'm going to be this actress, right? And I remember you and I going out on audition after audition after audition for different projects and nothing hitting. And you and I having this conversation about us being madly in love with this thing that keeps rejecting us.
Rejection.
And I remember feeling like, dang, my career with relationship is very similar to career with like men at the time where it was like, but I'm so bomb. How can you not see my worth? Right. I remember us feeling that about our careers and we experienced that at the same time. Right. But you being such a motivating force, it's like, keep on going. You could do it. And me having to do the same for you.
Yeah.
And to see us now fast forward to me, like, literally watching you on my TV at times, you know, with these major stars, because you've done like a lot of projects, like I've seen you in a lot of stuff, but to see now you still, you know, 10 years later, like you have not stopped, you keep going, and it just feels so good. I'm like, dang, I remember when we couldn't even pay rent.
I sometimes feel crazy for doing this because I don't know anybody in their right mind that would continue to, like you said, be rejected time after time, year after year. And after year, still be here, you know, standing and pursuing it. And I think, like I said, it just all circles back to just my belief system.
Yeah.
When I believe.
Yeah.
When I believe in love, I fucking believe.
Yep.
When I believe in a vision that I have for myself, I fucking believe.
Yeah.
From my outfits to my career to my, you know, I take this shit serious and I really have a belief that, and I don't feel like I'm where I want to be, but I feel like I'm still standing. I'm still here.
You're still going.
I'm still going and I'm still at it where a lot of people would have given up by now.
Oh yeah.
I mean, and a lot of people have by this point. But like I said, my belief system is top tier and I just have allowed that to carry me through in this very hard pursuit.
Yeah. And I think that there's, like I said, a mirror to career and relationship. Yeah, because it's really about I love myself so much. I know that while you may not see my love in life, whether that's career or whether that's man, it doesn't mean that I'm going to allow you to take my light away from me forever. Absolutely. Right? I may get a little dark, but then I'm going to find myself again and come back. And I'm going to continue on this journey till I'm in an alignment with someone who does see my value, till I'm in alignment with someone who does see my light.
And it may take a long time.
It may take a while. And you may take some hits along the way.
And I will take some hits along the way.
I remember bringing you to the radio station and I'm like, oh my God, I'm here at the radio station to have my own radio show. And then I take a hit. And at some point I lose that job, just like a breakup. Like you lose those things. But I'm going to get back up. I'm going to start my own podcast. I'm going to keep going on and on. Like,
and now look at you. Your show is next.
This is true. I'm going to have a TV show.
That's next. It's already in the works.
I'm
going to
have a relationship talk show.
Yes, but you are.
I'm huge on no matter what hits you, whether it's love or career, whenever you experience loss or rejection or just, right, like a lack of acceptance, you don't stop and you don't give up. You have to still tell yourself, you still have to remember that you are lovable and you are worthy. Absolutely. And I think that while we're joking about you being in love with love and relationship with others, I also think that you understand the importance of being in love with self. Mm-hmm. And while it may not feel that you're always in love with self, I think you being vulnerable and saying, like, I don't always love myself is a very big deal, too.
That was a hard question, Madi. Like, because I struggle. And, you know, because maybe it's the business. Maybe it's a lot of factors, you know, how I formed my identity, like my beauty standards or whatever. Maybe comparisons. I don't know. But, like, there's a lot of times where you just struggle with, like, looking at yourself and just feeling love, you know, and if there can be some disappointments along the way, and it's an ongoing process. And I know a lot of people say that, but it really is like, I'm constantly trying to find a way to love myself through all of this shit.
Yep.
And it has not been easy, but I think I'm remaining hopeful and optimistic and still staying true to, like, I know what I deserve. I know it's coming for me. I know love, all these things. I know it's going to happen. So I'm just going to keep going. And my light is better. Like, I feel like I want y'all to get the light over the darkness. Yep. I mean, there is darkness, but the light is what I want to give to y'all, to everybody. Like, you know, so that's just where I choose to live in.
Oh my gosh. I love that. And 2023 Fahidi Azure
Didi
is gonna spread love and light. Let everybody know if they want to find your love and light and love on you, where they can find you.
You can stroke my stroke my Instagram. I love that. Play with my Twitter and stroke my Instagram is genius. But you can find me at on Instagram and Twitter at Azure Didi. That's AZURDEDE. Didi is the nickname. Azure D is the name. So just so you know, it's Azure D, but my Instagram is Azure DD.
And so you guys can always play with my Twitter or stroke my Instagram at Spicy Madi. Go to thespicylife.com. Click and subscribe to the Spicy Life podcast. Share this episode with a friend. Help others help themselves by spreading this love, okay? And you guys can always sign up for a course or schedule a free consultation with me at thespicylife.com. And there you guys have it. You have just been spiced. The Spicy Life.